I think people walked out of the room when we did the training a little bit lighter. And I think it was because of what they learned and experienced. And I think they even got some freedom in some areas of life that they were seeking after.
Welcome to Season 2 of the Gospel Coach Podcast. Our aim in these podcasts is to empower you, the Gospel Coach, in ongoing ministry of the gospel through coaching others. We'll share examples of our own learned experiences, as well as invite different guest coaches to share what they are utilizing to advance the gospel with their coachees around the globe. I'm your host, Jim Moon Jr., alongside the pioneer of gospel coaching and founder and president of CMM, Dr. Tom Wood. Tom began gospel coaching and creating the cross conversation model more than 15 years ago, and began training other gospel coaches in the USA in 2009, and since then, it's spread from Atlanta to the nations around the globe. Not only coaching, but training gospel coach trainers. Be sure to listen to the other amazing conversations and helpful reminders from Season 1. So now we continue with more important topics for your coaching ministry and cross-pollinating ideas and insights in gospel coaching practices from other regions.
Hi, Jim. Looking forward to today's podcast for sure.
Yeah. Good to be together again.
We're going to explore gospel coaching in a local church setting, which we haven't done yet in any of our podcasts. We've been talking about it basically professionally. Different guests who either coach for us or have been trained through us that are doing it on a professional basis. And those have all been great. Thank you all for tuning in. I hope you've taken away some jewels as we go. But today's guest took gospel coach training and realized that he wanted to see if it would work on the staff of the church where he serves. And so,
That's right.
So,
Paul Walker's with us. Yeah. Paul Walker recently went through gospel coach training and did a tri-hort and did really well. And then he asked us to come down to Fort Lauderdale and do a gospel coach foundations with about 50 of their staff. So, Paul's been around. He's recommended CMM professional coaches for several of their church planters that planted out of the church. And we've even coached a couple of staff people. So we're really glad to have you here, Paul. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Paul. Good to see you.
Good to see you, Tom.
Thanks for joining us on this. Just briefly for our audience. So, Paul is the executive pastor at Calvary Chapel, Fort Lauderdale, a very profoundly influential and impactful church, not just in South Florida, but really around the globe. They've got a global footprint of missionaries, and Paul gets to work on the inside, see how the sausage is made, and yet he's still standing. How long have you been there, Paul?
6.5 years. Yeah, I've been on staff 6.5 years. Prior to that, I was a elder and a congregant for about 20 years. So,
So basically your whole adult life.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. This has been our church home for a long time.
Did you and Pam you two didn't get married there?
No, I served at a local Baptist church. I was there for about 13 years.
Yeah.
And I went and worked at One Hope for a period of time in Europe. And then my lead pastor asked me if I would come back and work as a consultant. And that turned out to be a 6-month opportunity for him to see the good, the bad, and the ugly. And then at the end of the 6 months, asked me to join the team.
Yeah. So so Calvary Chapel Fort Lauderdale has a pretty large footprint in South Florida.
Yes. Yeah. Fairly large.
Yeah. And some of the things that you guys do there, in addition to having phenomenal services and people getting saved every Sunday through it, being baptized. It's pretty incredible. Your mission statement all over making disciples. It's kind of like, that's the thing, right?
So that's the thing.
Making disciples of Jesus.
Yeah. That's what we're about. Yeah.
You guys do a lot though in other areas, in mercy ministries around town and,
right.
support for women's groups and other people. You've got a global footprint in missions. You've helped considerably in some of the refugee problems that globally happen.
Yeah. Yeah, just recently with what happened in Turkey and Syria, we're helping out there through some of our partnerships. And we just really have a heart for those who are in need and for those who need to help up. And God's really given us, he's blessed us in some tremendous ways. So we want to be really good stewards. So that's kind of been our heartbeat is, where are people hurting? How can we help them? And in that, how can we deliver the gospel to them in a way that's native to them, where they're going to understand it and experience it?
I was with you, you won't remember this, we were having lunch when the war broke out in Ukraine. Was that a year plus ago? And you were in between bites managing a refugee excursions for people out of the Ukraine, part of your partners there. Get help. So just a phenomenal, just for those of you listening, you don't know anything about Calvary Chapel, Fort Lauderdale, just an amazing church, amazing group of people. We've had other expressions of our time there in other ministry settings with Paul and with some of the people that work on staff there. And I've always believed and seen that there's just this sold out attitude to Jesus and a love for Jesus by people on staff, volunteers. And it's just an incredible expression of God's grace and kindness. And obviously, you know, that's from the top down. So modeled before you. We won't even mention your pastor's name because he's not a celebrity pastor. He's just a really great, solid guy who loves Jesus, preaches the Bible, and leads a dynamic church. So Let me switch gears a little bit and just kind of ask you. So you you hired a gospel coach for yourself.
I did.
2 years ago, maybe? A couple years ago.
Yeah.
What did you find as some of the benefits of being coached yourself? Because this wasn't your first time in a coaching relationship, but this was a different coaching relationship, I think you told me.
Yeah, I think just at the root of in the approach of the gospel coaching, the formula, the process, for me, it was really healthy. It was really good. My coach was really good at helping me stay on task and creating some SMART goals with me. He was able to ask the right questions in such a way that the work that God was already doing in my heart, he was able to bring it out. And so super helpful. We were going through COVID at a large church like this and having to make decisions pretty much every day and some really difficult decisions at that. You know, nobody really prepares you for it. You know, I think Mike Tyson said, you know, everybody goes into a fight with a plan until they get punched in the mouth. And for me, COVID was just that punch in the mouth. And so my coach was really good at just helping me step back, process, and we were able to navigate it in a way that really, I think, honored the Lord and really, I think, was helpful for other churches in our area.
That's great. So you got, but you started getting coaching before COVID. You started before that.
We did. Yeah.
What motivated you to decide to get a gospel coach? Was there some reason, something trigger?
Yeah, for me personally, it was nobody ever taught me to be an executive pastor. I didn't go to school to be an executive pastor. I just kind of got called into it and kind of got sucked into the vortex of it. And just being able to, again, help, you know, have somebody help me process, somebody I could ask questions to that was safe. At the same time, somebody who give me honest feedback and look for areas in my life, maybe that were blind spots to me and help me explore those things in a way that really honored the Lord. That's what I was looking for. And I think that's what I got. And, I was happy with that.
Was there any one particular moment you can share, feel safe in sharing with us? It was kind of like an aha moment that your coach, all of a sudden you had this like, wow. This is amazing to me because it's something you hadn't thought about or.
So I'd have to go back to COVID during the pandemic. And I had a desire that I saw this as an opportunity for the church to change. I saw this as an opportunity for us to get our house in order and hopefully emerge on the backside of that, a different church, maybe a more missional type church. And even though that was in my heart, I would say that that my coach actually helped bring that out and actually helped me create some benchmarks that I could follow and some goals that I could, have conversations with people and even talk about, what are we promoting? How are we promoting things? You know, it got kind of granular at times, but it was in that space that I really recognized, like, without his help, I'm not quite sure what decisions we would have made. And so it was super helpful in that space.
CMM is in the church vitality business. They work in four spheres. One of the spheres is with individuals through gospel coaching. CMM's professional team of coaches are deeply invested in the lives of the leaders they coach. They also partner with missionally aligned national and global networks or church ecosystems by providing gospel coach training that produces both indigenous coaches and gospel coaching trainers. If you have not been gospel coached, you are invited to contact them at cmmnet.org and they can connect you with one of their seasoned veterans. If you are part of a church ecosystem, CMM wants you to know that they can help you prepare both coaches and gospel coach trainers so you can raise up the new generation of coaches that are needed to grow healthy, reproducing churches in your network, region, or country. Again, you can contact CMM on their website at cmmnet.org.
How has gospel coaching helped in the ministry at Calvary? What are some of the takeaways, learnings?
Again, my experience has been, I've been able to take some of the tools that I learned in my training and apply them to my staff, even to some of our volunteers, and help them walk through things where maybe they themselves had a blind spot and they didn't realize something. Maybe they didn't realize that they had an idol. And I was able to help them discover it for themselves in a way that was safe, and then help them hopefully correct some of that. So not just focusing on the behavior of what's not working, but looking at the soul of the person and trying to kind of dig a little bit deeper into their heart and find out what is making you think that way? What is making you act that way? And then let's deal with that.
Wow. Makes them feel loved, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Cared for somebody,
you're not just using them.
Yeah. It's not just a discipline that Paul's doing, but it's actually, it's not a discipline at all. He actually cares for my soul. Mm. He's actually pastoring me in this space. So,
I like that.
So, you invited us down to do a foundations course for the staff. And I'm just curious, what were you looking for them to get out of going through the foundations?
Yes. I knew Tom's heart. Tom and I've spent a lot of time together in my backyard and talking, just having free conversations. And I knew at the very heart of everything he was doing, and then at the training for the coaching, that the gospel was the heart of everything. And for my staff, that's what I wanted them to walk away with. I wanted them to walk out with a very clear understanding, first of all, of the gospel, and how that sometimes their heart, their emotions may play tricks on them. Wow. And so if they can layer in the gospel and look at their heart through the lens that Jesus does, that maybe there could be a renewal that'll take place in their life, that spiritual formation that comes first with the discovery of, hey, what are some of the idols? What are some of the things that make me tick or make me think the way that I am? Wow. And so it was really twofold. It was, I want them to have a clear understanding of the gospel, but then also I want them to be able to apply it into their lives and let them become whole and, again, be everything that God's called them to be.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as you guys have implemented that and they've gone through it, how's it gone with the staff coaching one another? And what gaps have you seen as it's gotten further and further away from the training?
For those who really are participating in it and following the process, I would say it's really helped them and it continues to help them. I would say with anything like with time or distance, some of them have forgotten some of the tools and some of those resources. And so this is great that you guys are interviewing me, because we probably need to set up another time to do this again with the staff, and just as a refresher and a reminder. I think, again, it's just that renewal that takes place in their lives. I think people walked out of the room when we did the training a little bit lighter. I think it was because of what they learned and experienced. And I think they even got some freedom in some areas of life that they were seeking after.
You just made my day. That's awesome. You know, and for those of you that are listening, so you're in a church, you're a pastor of your church, or you're on staff of a church, you may not, you know, Calvary is this very large, you know, mega church. But if you heard what Paul was just saying, you know, providing the kind of pastoral love to your staff, that they're not just people that are working for you to get a job done, but you've got to care for them and love them. And I remember you saying afterwards, you know, you said you realized that you haven't done enough with the staff to like continually train them or keep them, you know, like pour into them, you know, things. And this was a good refresher for that, because it had been a while since you'd done anything like it. But man, just to refresh your staff in the gospel is worth, you know, half a day or a day, you know, just to take them into it. And hey, let's remind ourselves of what this story is and what Jesus has done for us.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. It goes back to their soul, right? It goes back to, you know, protecting their heart.
Yeah.
It's the wellspring of life. And so everything flows out of that, right? So if their soul's not healthy, if they're not healthy, their relationships at home probably aren't healthy. Their relationships at work aren't healthy. Their relationships with their volunteers, and you know, you go down all the way through it. And then if those things aren't healthy, then they themselves aren't at a place that they're at their best.
Right.
They're probably not partnering with other churches. They're probably not partnering outside of the four walls of their own church. They're not thinking about innovating or being creative, or they're not thinking about what's the church going to look like in the next 60 years, because they're so focused in themselves and they have these blind spots that they're not wrestling with.
Yeah. Did people in your church, so the staff that you broke them up into trihorts, did they coach one another? Is that how you set it up?
With the trihorts. Yeah.
With trihorts.
Yeah.
And some of those trihorts have continued probably among the women.
So I think, we still have some that are continuing. Again, this was what? Two years ago?
It's been a while.
So I
have in my little note here, is it time for a refresher? So I was glad to hear you say, hey, maybe we need to have you guys come back.
That's right.
Yeah. And you probably have a new staff. I mean, you probably have COVID came and you probably have new people that haven't been around or.
Yeah. Yeah. We lost probably about 60, 70 staff.
Wow.
Since COVID. And God's brought us some amazing people. We lost some great people too.
You lost 60 to 70 people. Now listen, some of the people that are listening, that's as large as their church is, you know, 60, 70 people. So they're like, oh, okay, this doesn't fit with me.
It does.
But yeah, that's the thing. So you're a mega church. You're probably one of the largest churches in the United States anyway. I don't know, maybe the top 10 or 15 of them for sure. Do you think, you're looking at this, you've been on the ground, you've been coached, you've coached people on your staff, you've had people on your staff be coached, both professionally and then among your staff, you know, coaching everything. Does this scale to a smaller church? Can it scale down, or does you see this only happening in a mega church such as yourself?
Oh, no. I mean, so when I think about my training, the trihort I was within with two other guys from different parts of the United States. Even today, I sent an email out because I want to stay connected to those men because they made a difference in my life. So if you've got a church of 10, I mean, you can do this. This is going to help. It's going to make a difference in the lives of the men and the women who do this.
Yeah.
And again, if our aspiration, if our goal is to be more like Jesus and to die to ourselves and you know, be more like him every day, then absolutely. This is, again, I see gospel coaching as a way of spiritual formation. And that's what it was for me in my life, both professionally, but also spiritually.
Wow. Yeah. So it's a shepherd. I think you said earlier, it's a pastoral or shepherding vehicle for people.
It is.
Among your own staff, not just a way to shepherd them and care for them. And since you can't, as the executive or whatever, pastor everybody, you've spread out your span of care among other people to be able to
Absolutely.
Care for one another. Jim, what would you, give Paul some coaching on what he can do next in terms of his own coaching abilities or his coaching. He should be a professional coach, in my opinion. But.
Yeah, we have had that conversation, and yeah. Paul knows he's got a couple of small things left on my checklist for him. But yeah, we really would love to have you on the team, Paul. It'd be great.
No, I appreciate that. Thank you. It's an honor.
Yeah.
Privilege. Yeah.
I'm just struck as I'm listening to you to think about the scope, the breadth of all the things that you have your hand in that the Lord has blessed you to be a part of through Calvary Chapel, Fort Lauderdale, the number of people hearing the gospel, the number of people being served and cared for, the number of people coming to faith in Jesus, and being one of the coaches of several different people on your staff. I'm just really struck up at how broad that is. But listening to you today, I'm even more overwhelmed by the focus on the heart and the soul of people that work with you. Mm. And I just think it's beautiful. I'm very, very honored to have been a part of helping you achieve that and bring the gospel to the souls of staff people.
Yeah. Well, that's really the deep. Lord. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. I think, just caring for people's hearts, and that happens in a church of 10 or 10,000. And it, in God's eyes, he doesn't look at the number or the size of the church or how many ministries you got going on or how many staff members. He looks at the condition of our heart. And so I just want to be a good steward with that. So I want to be generous. I want to be the best boss. I want to be the best husband. I want to be the best dad. I want to be the best friend. And gospel coaching definitely helped me hit some of those, tick some of those boxes for me. Mm-hmm. So I want to say thank you. Thanks great. To you guys. The friendship and the generosity of time has been tremendous.
Well, thank you, Paul. Thanks for your time. Yeah, for sure. Thank you for being with us. Appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule. And thanks for all you're doing.
Thank you.
For the kingdom and for Jesus and for your friendship with us at CMM. So look forward to talking to you soon.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us. Remember, we'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment or a story to share, send us a note via gospelcoachnetwork@gmail.com.